Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Inter Worldwide Podcast. This is episode 88, and today we have three guests. Hi, Mo. Welcome back from your vacation in Europe. How are you?
I'm good. How is everybody? I hope everybody's great and doing well and ready for the next round.
Very well. Then we have Giulio. Hi, Giulio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
Welcome back from your vacation in Italy. And lastly, we have Edo. Edo was with us before. He's part of the Borussia Cafe. And how are you, Edo?
Hi, I'm very well, thanks. I'm back too from the holiday, and yes, nice to be here again.
All right, so we have four interisti from four different parts of the world. That wasn't easy to organize, let me tell you. Anyway, let's go straight to the fixture. Today we're going to talk about the Verona-Inter game. We won 3-1, and we're going to preview the Sampdoria game. And after that, we're going to talk a little bit more in general about this Serie A day. And there are going to be some very cool games coming. So
it's a great Serie A day. I underline it.
Right. Well, you are excited for the wrong games, though. Anyway, so let's talk about the game before the international break. We play against Verona. That used to be our boogie team. Not anymore. The only, let's say, their best player was Zaccagno, which now is moved in the meanwhile, moved to Lazio. So it was a little bit harder than I thought. But let's see, what do you think of the game, Edo? Let's start with you.
Yeah, well, actually, it was a tough game, as almost always when playing Pentecoste Stadium in Verona. Verona has put us in a big difficulty, especially in the first half. What I would like to say is that what struck me of Verona's game, much more than our game, because at the end we found some difficulties, we weren't able to find some measures, but then somehow, especially with quality and with more quality from the bench, we overturned them the game in the second half. But I was very much impressed by the way Di Francesco from Verona has changed his approach to the game to try and counteract our tactics and the way we play. Because one thing we can say is that that Verona was not like any team, any squad coached by Di Francesco. They changed in the defense with a three defense, trying to mirror our disposition on the pitch. They set up a very impressive pressing to try and stop the offensive actions from the beginning, so that we have been rarely been so in trouble with starting our game from the goalkeeper as we were during the match with Verona. And we took a bit of time. Perhaps we have been surprised in a way by this. And in a certain way, it can be a sort of a small alarm in some way, because we took some time to understand which kind of game we were having. But on the other way, having our opponent trying and modifying their own way of playing, their mode of playing, so much just to trying to counteract to counteract our game means that despite being only in the first second day of our campaign, it means that we have impressed our opponents, and it should not be easy to play against us.
No.
I want to add to something to Edo that I think even though De Francesco gets a lot of heat from everybody in Italy, I think it was a brilliant plan not playing with an out-and-out striker and putting Barak, who I really rate Barak really high, as the false nine. He tried to match our formation but tweaked it a little bit up front with Zaccani and Barak. It was kind of hard for our center backs to deal with Barak dropping to the midfield and having an extra guy in the midfield, because they didn't mark anyone, our center backs, in the first half. And it showed a lot by having lost on the field the players, like they lost the forward, they didn't know where to go. And I felt comfortable watching the game that we will get something out of this game. And in halftime, I thought that we will come out winning 3-1. I said that before in halftime with somebody. But it's that connection between Lautaro and Dzeko, I didn't feel it was great. And that created a lot of problem, because Lautaro was used to Lukaku being the main guy. But now Dzeko tries to play his game and he's not used to him. And because he was in Copa America, they didn't train enough together. So it was kind of hard. Also, the difference between playing Perisic, like who goes to the byline, and playing Di Marco, which played some of the friendlies, who crosses from early, made a bit of a difference between the style of play. But the big thing about this game is that when Vidal came in, still he was good. Correa came in, he was brilliant. And it shows you that we replaced Lukaku good. We can go forward. And also, when the games are a little bit locked, like the Verona game, which is, we didn't have a lot of chances. People were worried. They only thought that we will get only 1 point. I feel that that squad, if it's in their day, they can beat anyone in the league. And that's a very good sign for a team that wants to go forward and still want to challenge for the title and wants to win it.
I just add something, because Mo was right to feel comfortable about the game, because if you look at the statistics, Inter conceded just one shot on target to Verona and 4 shots in total. And the only one shot of target was with a big collaboration from Andanovic. So Inter controlled the game much more than we feel as supporters. The problem is that the better thing that Di Francesco get from his Verona, as Edo said, is that aggressiveness that he maintained from the Juric style. And also in the first game against Sassuolo, they get a huge pressing since the opponent's goalkeeper. And it's not so easy to overcome that. Inter needs some time, also because of what Mo underlined, the connection between Lautaro Martinez and Dzeko. Because it's easy to find Dzeko as a main target on long balls, but it's not so easy to get a new game when it's the first time that you feel with your new partners. And the other thing is that a potential problem for this Inter is that against a team that has this kind of aggressiveness build up, maybe you need to get long balls, and Andanovic is not so good at that instead of other kind of passages, and it could be a problem. Apart of that, another important thing that I wanted to say is that Simone Inzaghi showed personality, because in the second half to change the game, he took over from the field Brozovic and Perisic, two of the team's leader, and also Lautaro Martinez, but Lautaro had a limited fuel in his tank because he was just to come back from an injury. So the changes were important because Inzaghi showed personality and showed that he could change this team. Also, changing some important players, and it's not so common that the second game.
Two things. I think there is something hitting your mic, Julio. And then second, I don't know if it was fake or not, but I saw a heat map of the game, and it was incredible. That was all around the Inter area, but nothing in the Inter area. So as you were saying, the only shot and goal they had was basically a gift from Handanovic, but otherwise they didn't spend any time close to the Inter goal. But moving on, one of the last thing you mentioned is the Mr. Inzaghi's choices on about Perisic and Brozovic, and this is also due to all the players we have on the bench. And I was looking at the next fixture, the Sampdoria one, and I think every website gives a different 11. This one in front of me gives Di Marco and Dumfries on the wings, and then Sensio, Dzeko in front. We know that during the international break, the Argentina are coming back at the last second, so probably they will start from the bench. But still, thinking to have Dumfries and Di Marco instead of Darmian and Perisic, I think is a you know, like, weird idea, not in a negative way, but it's it shows all the options that we can have and that Inzaghi can have. What do you think about this game? Let's start with Mo.
So I'm gonna pick up from the Verona game about this game. It's Inzaghi. I'm gonna add, Julio said something about Inzaghi having the brains to do stuff and thinking great about the game in the second half. To have the guts to pull out Brozovic and play without a regista was actually something new to Inter people. Like, it's too early in the game, in the 66th minute, to pull out Brozovic and pull Vidal, and we're just gonna go like this, and we, at the end, we won the game. So I think this gives you the flexibility that Inzaghi has in his brain, and he's not rigid like Conte. And I think this is why we have many, many different formations in every website, because nobody knows what's in Inzaghi's head in the next game. However, I think that Dumfries, who played for the Netherlands, should not start in this game. It should be Darmian, who had 2 weeks of rest. DeMarco didn't play, can start ahead of Perisic because Perisic played for Croatia. As for the Argentinians, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Nobody is sure. In England, they won't allow the Argentinians and the Brazilians to play in the Premier League. FIFA said they will ban players. I didn't hear any news about the Serie A banning players because they actually interacted with people that broke COVID protocol. But I'm going to the game itself. Sampdoria played 2 games, did not create chances, did not score 1 goal, but also only conceded 1 goal in these 2 games against Sassuolo and Milan. That tells you that they have a good defensive abilities, but the Quagliarella probably getting old. Caputo, I'm not sure how they're going to score with 4-4-2, who is a very old formation, but probably it works for them, especially with having Candreva on the wing. I think Inter can play this game with comfort because we have depth and because our players did not play a lot. Like, the some of them are like rested, like Darmian, Bastoni played 1 game. Not a lot of them travel to South America. I know that people will talk about Correa and Lautaro, but they didn't play a lot because the game was stopped. So yes, the travel, but actually a travel without actually playing.
All right. I see Edo wants to tell you tell something. Also, we're gonna have the Real Madrid game in 3 days, so we also need to consider that. Edo, what you want to say?
Yes, actually, of course. First of all, I would like to echo everything that Mo has said, because I agree with everything. I would like just to point out one concept that goes a bit before and in general, rather than towards the match against Sampdoria, and that is about Inzaghi and about his attitude for the about the match we have seen. I appreciate and I recognize the his mindset and his braveness in a way to replace Brozovic and Perisic, especially Brozovic, that is one of the possible unreplaceable ones in our team, to try and change the aspect of the game. I would like to spend a couple of words on Inzaghi. Inzaghi doesn't have a very good fame on this. His previous years at Lazio do not speak very much of it, because despite having a high quality first 11, his replacements were quite standardized in a way. You could also even almost predict the moment in the second half in which he was going to replace and change his midfielders or his forwards. And in this sense, Inzaghi came to Inter also with this challenge to try and see what he could do with a much deeper squad. What we've seen in this first two games, of course, in the first one there was no need, but in the second one against Verona, he was challenged to do that. I have to say he has reacted quite well. As for the game with against Sampdoria, D'Aversa is another one that plays more to disrupt the opponent's game rather than to propose his own one. So I predict at least some initial difficulties or some initial challenge for us to try and overcome the defense that has worked quite well against Milan and Sassuolo, which are two teams that play some decent offensive game. But at the same time, I think we are deep. I think we can do the right replacement. So I think we can think of both the guys that come from the South America and the game we will have ahead midweek against Real Madrid. I feel quite confident about this, especially because, as I said, despite having suffered a bit of D'Aversa when he was coaching Parma in the past, I really do not think he poses a very tough challenge from a tactical point of view.
But the problem is that there is no Gervinho in Sampdoria, because we suffer Gervinho a lot more than D'Aversa. Apart from that, Sampdoria is a solid team and plays the 4-4-2 the way you expect an Italian team to play 4-4-2. So they are a defensive-minded team that tend to stand by their area and then to get the space in counter-attack. They create a lot of crosses and the main part of the game going through Candreva. I let you decide if it's a positive or negative thing. The problem is that you have to overcome this defensive system, and as you said, they get only one goal and with much responsibilities from the goalkeeper and Augello. So it's not so easy to score to Sampdoria, and we have to expect a tough game like in the last year, because we have to remember that also with all the differences from one year to the other that we lost to Sampdoria 1 year ago. And the problem about this game is that Inter has to manage the South Americans problem, because you have two players in the midfield and two on the offensive side that need to manage their game time due to international flights. and then because you have to play Real Madrid, but also then Bologna, and then other games. We have seven games in 10 days, so we have a problem to manage our roster, and we have to begin right now. And also for that, I will not be surprised if Inzaghi change someone in the defensive line, because we all think about the midfielders like Vecino, Vidal, and the strikers. But on the defensive side, you have De Vrij, Skriniar, and Bastoni that has played in with their national teams, and their Ranocchia, and then you have Ranocchia, D'Ambrosio, and Kolarov that didn't play any minute and stayed in Appiano to train. And in the next game, someone has to play, because it's impossible or nearly impossible to think that Bastoni, Skriniar, and De Vrij play all the minutes in all the future games. So Inzaghi has to make his choices, and maybe he has to begin right now with the Sampdoria match.
You don't think we're gonna have D'Ambrosio, Ranocchio, and Kolarov against Real no. Madrid?
I hope not. I hope not.
Mo, do you want to say something to wrap up the Sampdoria game?
Well, actually, for the Sampdoria game, I think we have deep depth of a squad enough to actually play whoever, because if somebody plays 45 minutes and it's a Sunday game, they can still play Wednesday. And we have four forwards. Satriano even can play. That is still, like, we still can play whoever. Vidal came in, he was great. Since he's still there, there is Vecino, who I have a trust. The only guy that I don't want to see on the field is Gagliardini, as I voiced this on Twitter before. And other than this, I think the Sampdoria game, if we can focus on the Sampdoria game and not thinking about the Real Madrid game, I think we should win this comfortably.
One key player in my view is Sensi, because for the first time we have a version of Sensi that didn't play for Italy and then is ready to play for Inter. It's nearly a first time in the last years. So it's a we have he is an important player in the situation that we are, and is he probably will start the game. After that period with the national team, we all expect he will get some minutes and then come back, maybe with some problems, maybe a little bit tired. Instead, he's fresh and clean, and he could play from the first minute. So I'm pretty curious to see his impact, also because you all remember when the first month of Sensi's experience in Inter, that he created a great game against Sampdoria in Sampdoria. I know that is Genova, but in Sampdoria a lot of time ago, and maybe it's a beautiful thing to get him again in this game.
So before moving on to the rest of the games, I just want a very quick prediction of the games. Mo, you go first.
I expect 3-1. I expect 2-0 for us.
2-0. Okay.
Yes.
Edo?
I was thinking 2-0 for us as well. Yes, I think it can be some very likely results.
So I am forced to say something new now.
Yeah, I mean, just a reminder, we still have Andanovic.
The main problem is that they have Candreva, and Candreva has a huge record of goal against Inter. So I go for 1-3 with Candreva's goal.
Beautiful. All right, moving on. As I was saying earlier, this day in Serie A, we have some exciting game. We have some exciting game for Julie as well, because we're going to have Empoli-Venezia.
Oh, the first game, Empoli-Venezia.
A better way to open that with Empoli-Venezia?
We have Henri. You don't like Henri?
I do, but a different one.
I just selected Jonsen for my own fantasy team, so I look forward for Venezia.
Yeah, the thing with Venezia is that, well, I'm from Venezia, so I was falling a little bit last year. The problem is that aside the coach, they changed pretty much everybody else. I mean, the transfer season of Venezia was insane. So I think they can play the two formations and still have people on the bench, basically. Anyway, sorry, Julie, we're not talking about that games. Then we're going to have Napoli-Juventus. We're going to have Atalanta-Fiorentina. And we're going to have Milan-Lazio and Roma-Sassuolo, which is a nice game, too. So who wants to talk about which game? Let's see. Who volunteers? Nobody? Do I have to pick?
The big one is Osimhen is gonna play against Juventus. I'm very, very happy. That's all I can say. Like about this game in particular, it's very like this is a game. I think, in my opinion, this game for it's gonna decide something regarding Juventus season, because it's just if Juventus lose this game, people are going to have doubts like about Allegri and the squad and the commitment of the players and what is happening. But also in the same time, it's just going to tell us, is this Juventus team serious or they're just there? Because now they lost Ronaldo and they have Moise Kean, who I'm not a big fan of Kean, like personally, because of all the problems he created everywhere he went. But is this a team that people think that they can challenge for the Scudetto? I don't think so. In every aspect on the field, even Locatelli, who I know you three are Italians and you guys think the world of Locatelli, he is not a game changer. He is not the guy that will take the team to the next level. He is a good addition to the midfield, but I don't think he makes them the top team to go for Serie A. And for Napoli, all I can say is Spalletti is doing a good job in putting the team together and making them play well. They have 6 points from 2 games. They played okay, and they play good football. And it's just, I think it's working out for Spalletti. I think Napoli have the upper hand in this game. But we always know that when Juventus go play Napoli, they pull the rabbit out of the hat. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm expecting Napoli to win this game. I don't know. I can't predict the score because it depends on the lineup and who is going to play. But I think Napoli will win.
And Napoli has a huge opportunity. Is my final my final comment about that. Napoli is a huge opportunity because Juventus has some structural problems and then some problems with the South American players, and it's maybe the best time to get against Juventus right now, because you know, okay, Juventus is wounded and is always a dangerous team, but right now you can get an opportunity that you cannot get in the near future. About I take Roma Sassuolo, Ale, if you don't mind, because it's
potentially. I would like just to add one thing about the Juventus Napoli game. Yesterday I was listening to the On the Continent podcast, and they were talking about the Ligt and how it's not the player who was supposed to be. Let's just say that it was supposed to do the next step, especially next to Chiellini and Bonucci at Juventus, and it's almost afraid more than it's not the leader that it was supposed to be and that it was at Ajax. And I think that if you know, a lot of people now is focused on the midfield of Juve or the attack because Ronaldo is gone. But if you look at their defense, Bonucci and the Ligt aside, then the rest is not so great. So as you guys were saying, I think Napoli has a great opportunity. Of course, Napoli just lost against Benevento. What was it? 5-1, 5-2, something stupid like that. So, and we know Spalletti. I'm not the biggest fan, so I can't really say that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Alessandro. Someone like me who does not like Spalletti, because everybody praises Spalletti as he's the greatest manager that ever happened to be Italian. And yeah. I hated Inter when I watched Spalletti play. I hated that cross and just let's hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, sorry. back to Giulio.
Roma Sassuolo, it could be an entertaining game, and also it's interesting for the Roma side because there is a great hype on Roma right now because Mourinho showed some great football moments. Tammy Abraham had a great impact, but also the return of Veretout was great for the team, and so everything was okay. But we cannot forget that in the first team against Fiorentina, that is the only real difficult game that they played, they were there were the red card to Drongoski, and so the game was a little bit different from what we expected. So against Sassuolo, we could have a sort of test. Sassuolo is a team that has a certain style of play, a certain personality, but they changed their manager, and Dionisi is not exactly like De Zerbi. And in the first game, they showed some problems with their style of play, their ability to attack. And they also have some problems with their players, because in the last weeks of Calcio Mercato, you had some voices about Berardi and Boga that wanted to leave. So, and then they sold Caputo. And also, and also having Raspadori, that is a great talent and is ready to take his space, it's not so easy to get everything at the right place. And this game could show some problems for the both of teams. So from Roma and for Sassuolo, Roma is a good team, is has a great potential in the offensive side. But on the defensive side is a team that could show a lot of problems if attacked in the right way. As a Sassuolo, nearly the same. So it's a game that's open to every result and could change something in the perception of the two teams.
Hey, Doug, do you have anything to add to this game, or you want to comment another one?
Actually, on Roma Sassuolo, I think that Giulio has said everything. It should be an entertaining game to interested teams, and yes, I have some high expectations on the Roma team, because I think it's one of the best built teams with lots of quality. Interchangeable people that can come from the bench, and yes, I think that every game that Roma will play will be an interesting one, almost regardless of the opponent. So my game will be Atalanta Fiorentina, my pick. Atalanta Fiorentina should be another interesting game for two different reasons. Atalanta. Well, we know Atalanta, they now play with the autopilot because Gasperini has set a system in which he just needs to introduce the new players to the system. After some induction, some adaptation, then they can go autonomously. And at the same time, you have some veterans such as Gosens, Foller, Toloi, and others that give personality and give the quality of the game. So Atalanta, we should not expect low quality or low level of playing from Atalanta. At the same time, they are in need of points and also of confirmation in a certain sense, because they come from just one win obtained in the very last gasp of breath against Torino. They failed to score a goal against Bologna, and they come to to this game with some problems in the forwards. At the same time, they face Fiorentina, which is a team in health. They are confident. They express some very good football quality. So I watched both matches from Fiorentina and I enjoyed both of them. And plus, they are adding some quality players such as Torreira in the midfield, Nastasic, that might give some more order in the defense. So also to wait for Milenkovic to recover some quality. I also think Odriozola will start having some time on the right, and hoping that he might go back to the Odriozola from Real Sociedad. And Italian as well, he's starting to shaping a system of play in order so to include and gradually insert the players. Fiorentina has a better roster than we think. I recognize we have been saying this in the last 2 to 3 years, but this time it should be the occasion for Fiorentina to try and make all his players shine. And yes, I think that this will be an important test for Atalanta, and considering Fiorentina, that should be a nice game to watch.
But in Fiorentina, we will see Torreira, maybe.
Right, and the difference, yes, with this Fiorentina and the previous one is that now they have a real coach. So that's always helpful.
But Ale, now you have to talk. You prefer Torino Salernitana or Milan Lazio?
Well, it's a difficult choice, but we need to spend some time. We need to spend some word about the future winner.
Salernitana.
I mean, which is not Salernitana, of course, but it's Milan. I mean, they have a fantastic team. They have a great manager, and they're gonna win for sure, at least until December. Then we'll see. But no, I think it's gonna be an interesting game, and I'm really curious to see Sarri versus Milan, because so far Lazio has been amazing. This is gonna be the first real test for them. Mo, do you want to say something about this game?
Yes, I just wanted to ask something very quickly to everyone. Why do you think Milan, they do not look as good as last year? If someone can answer, like, just on the field, even though the added players and Rafael Leao is playing good, Tonali is even playing good, but why when I watched them, I did not feel as confident about them as last year? And that's kind of strange to me. With when you add depth, you should look better, like what Inter did, like we're not better than last year, but we look better as a team. But for Milan, I don't think the same, even though the manager is the same. And as Alessandro said, for Lazio, the manager makes a big difference. That Sarri makes Lazio look like this fluid, great team, four in the back, everything is working, clicking. The guys are playing good. Luis Alberto Milinkovic Savage, it's working. But for Milan, I did not feel the same, even though they scored goals a lot in that last game. But I feel there is something missing. Is it Ibrahimovic? Do you guys think it's Ibrahimovic?
I have an unpopular opinion, and for me, the absence in the Milan's game is Çalhanoğlu, because Çalhanoğlu was the key player to get the ball from the defense and the defensive midfield to the offensive side. And it's not so easy to replace it. And Brahim Diaz has not the same style of play. And it's an important thing that Milan didn't already get to the same level without Çalhanoğlu.
I have a different theory, which is part personality of the player. As you were mentioning, Ibrahimovic if you have Ibrahimovic, Cassie on the pitch, and on top of that you have just saying Theo Hernandez, who has a good game, that's it. Milan goes. But if one of these key player is not on the right day, the rest of the team kind of crumbled. On top of that, last season they had a great start, helped also by weird rain of penalties. That, you know, helped a lot the confidence of the team. The coach, the players, the whole team benefits from that. Now it's not the same. They come from a transfer window where they lost one key player for nothing, a second player, even if supporters don't agree, but another key player for nothing. I think mentally that makes some difference. And if one of the other players, I think of Tonali or I think of Tomori, if they don't step up to be a leader on the field, you know, it's gonna be tricky. And Giroud is a great striker, but I don't think he's that kind of personality.
Yeah, I generally agree with what you said. I might say in a nutshell that my opinion of Milan is that they are a great team until they will lose the first game 3-0. And the meaning of this is that I think they have a decent game, but they go much on confidence, on the group, on trying to develop themselves in this way. And they have made this clear choice of having a young core that is surrounded in some key elements by very experienced people. So they go pretty much with enthusiasm, but basically because it worked last year. And they tried to make a couple of additions in the same direction. But at the same time, there is repeating yourself is always difficult. And secondly, it is even more difficult when you now have the European Cup to play. And in that sense, tiredness, loss of confidence in case of any difficult match you come from during the week, and other stuff might pose some higher challenges to which I don't think they have at the moment some good antibodies to counteract. So yes, I repeat, I think they can be a very good team, but I would like to see them, how they react after the first big loss they will suffer during the season.
Okay, so we went a little bit longer than I expected, so I'm going to wrap it up. But before that, I would like a prediction from you for this game. Let's pick Napoli Juve, Milan Lazio, and let's do which one of the two? Let's do Atalanta Fiorentina. So let's start, Edo. You start. Napoli Juventus.
Napoli Juventus. I think that Napoli can win.
Okay. Atalanta Fiorentina.
Still me. Atalanta Fiorentina. Actually, I think Fiorentina can make the big result. And you said Milan-Lazio.
Milan-Lazio,
it can end with a draw.
All right. Mo, let's start with you. Napoli-Juventus.
I think Napoli will win that game. I'm just predicting 2-1. Atalanta-Fiorentina, I say Atalanta will win 3-1. And for Milan-Lazio, 2-2.
Okay, and now Giulio. I'm gonna ask you the other games.
Okay, Torino Salernitana -1, -2, -1. No, allora, Napoli-Juventus, I expect Napoli to win, but because of what I told you before, because Napoli has a huge opportunity and they need to take it right now. So, but I expect something like 2-1, something with some sufferings, because Allegri, it's not stupid, and so he has the ability to manage this kind of situation. And in the difficulties, Allegri sometimes gets some strange solutions that works really well. Atalanta Fiorentina, I expect something as a statement game from Fiorentina. I'm pretty confident about that because they have great talent and they could get all together in this game. Atalanta hadn't a great start of the season, and so I go with Fiorentina in this match. Milan Lazio is a little bit more difficult. First of all, because Lazio lost the player that always score against Milan, that is Joaquin Correa, that had a great score against Milan. So they have to find someone that scores. Milan, on the other side, is a different team from the last year, as you told. But I don't have a clear vision of this match, and my other speakers told about a draw, and maybe it's the right way, but I see a match with some occasion from both sides, but I go with Milan because they have always a solution, and something might come to their side in the end. Like, I don't know if you remember last year Milan Lazio, something like that.
Okay, well, I think it's time to wrap it, and so I want to thank Edo. Thank you from London.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Then thank you, Mo.
Finally, thank you, everyone.
United States.
Thank you, everyone, and have a great weekend.
And thank you, Giulio, from Milano.
Thank you so much, Ale.
And I hope you're going to have a great weekend, and talk to you next week.